Welcome to Syntax. On this Monday hasty treat, we're going hyper media. We're going hyper media. We're talking all about HTMX from a practical perspective. So we're not going to be getting too much into actual code here, but bigger picture things. What do you need to know about this as somebody who might not know anything? My name is Scott Talinsky. I'm from Denver. With me, as always, is Wes Boss. Wes, what's going on, my man?
Pretty excited to talk about HTMX today. It's funny that if we go back to the potluck episode questions we had, we've had questions about HTMX for years.
Long time.
And it only seems recently, with the like sort of swing back to the server, a lot of people are talking about it, and I'm pretty stoked about it. And it is not the new Microsoft version of HTML that you may have thought. You know, when, when Microsoft, what version was it where they like XLSX and docx, you know, they added an X to the end of all their new formats?
And everybody, everybody got angry. I got angry about that. That was obnoxious. Yeah. That was like Windows Vista era where they were just really making big mistakes all the time.
Yeah, well, like it was a new format. So like the same thing happened with CommonJS is that there's some way you need to put some sort of metadata in the file extension. So they added an X. Is that why they did it? Probably.
And you know what, Wes? it's like only you could tie XLX, X, Excel, WordX, or whatever, DocX, whatever these things. Only you could tie DocX to the ESM CommonJS kerfuffle that we've had. So I'm going to preface this episode by saying, if you hear some of my words come out different, I had dental surgery on Thursday. It is now Tuesday, so it has not even been a full week. My mouth is recovering. And if you are doing surgery on your code, you're going to want to have a tool like Sentry in your corner to make sure that you capture all of your errors and exceptions. My mouth hurts. I don't want my brain to hurt as well because I have a bunch of bugs and errors in my code that I can't find and solve. And so this show is presented by Sentry, something that you might actually need if you're getting into tools like HTMX. So let's get into it, Wes. I have fallen for HTMX like so many other people in the meme world online. I like it. I feel all kinds of things using it, and I feel odd right now. I feel odd that I like it so much. So we're going to be talking a little bit about high level, what this thing is, what you need to know about it. Basically, HTMX is a small library for swapping out parts of your UI with a response from a server. That's the big picture. People talk about this often in the context of HTMX versus React. React is doing a lot of different stuff than what HTMX is doing. And I think it's going to be really helpful for you to kind of get a what you need to know before even thinking about HTMX. So that way we're all working from the same bits and pieces here. I do want to credit HTMX. I've often been critical of some of their humor online. I think some of it is too much. That's coming from the guy with a monster truck intro to the podcast. So I guess I'm one to talk. But I got to say, my favorite piece of humor in their documentation, which is good, is this line right here. It says, HTMX finished second in the 2023 JavaScript Rising Stars front-end frameworks category, just behind React. And then in parentheses, it says, HTMX is a library, by the way, which React folks will laugh at that because React made a big thing to be, we're just a library, we're not a framework. And I thought that was just a cute bit of humor.
Oh, that's a nice little jab.
It's a nice little jab, and it's just playful. So what do you need to know before working in HTMX? One, you need a server, straight up. You need a server to return HTML, which is important because, you know, many of our servers, they return JSON right now. Maybe some of them are returning HTML, but, you know, what we've been working, or maybe they're returning React code. Who knows, right? You're using React server components. Long story short, to work with this tool, you need a server that is sending HTML to the client.
Yeah.
That's a big part.
And we had a question on the last podcast of like is HTMX a replacement for Pug or for server rendering or for templating? And the answer to that is no, right? HTMX does not care what your backend is like, and it only cares that you are shipping HTML to the browser, and it will know how to swap out the parts of your app, right?
That's big correct. In fact, one of my things on you need to know before starting is you will most likely need some kind of templating engine. And that goes along with whatever server-side manner you choose to use. Django has been very popular of a choice. I don't write Python myself, but I've used Django before. People seem to really like using Django. And you would use Django to generate your HTML, right? And likewise, many people are using Go as a backend that's fairly popular in this space. There's people using JSX and transforming it to HTML. There's people using Pug. There's people using any of these handlebars, whatever, any of these templating languages.
You could use React, right? Like you could 100% server-side render your React and then just use HTMX on the other side. You're probably not going to do that, but you could, right?
You could, absolutely. You could use Svelte. Anything that gets you from code to HTML as a string is fair game. Two or three, you most likely do not need as much client-side JS as you think. So you still need something to do client-side JS. A lot of people reach for something like Alpine, which is a lightweight client-side library. And this is one of those things where you're like, okay, if it's a replacement for React, which I don't necessarily feel like it is, and it's not analogous, right? You still need occasionally things to work with client-side code. That could just be straight-up vanilla JS. And in fact, that's how I'm doing it right now, and I got not a lot of beef with that. I think it's pretty great.
Yeah, like example, if you had like a list of people and you wanted to like remove somebody from a team, like you could render out the whole team. You have Scott, you have Wes, you have Randy, you put little X's beside them. And then when it comes to actually removing one of them, you could use HTMX just to like, when you click on that X, it sends the event to the server. The server removes it from the database and re-renders and sends that back. But if you wanted to make that, let me start that again. But if you wanted that to be a little bit more interactive, maybe you want to drag and drop, maybe you want to do some stuff in the browser that is based on browser events, that's when you need to reach for something, Alpine.js, vanilla JavaScript. There's lots of different options out there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So whatever that may be. And the cool thing is you're working with the DOM. So you don't have to bring in, you know, HTMX draggable library. You just get to use JavaScript, which is something I really appreciate about Svelte, right? Is that you can work with the DOM. Therefore, you don't need as many specialized tools. To go along with your point is you don't work in JSON. So what you're not doing is you're not modifying the data structure underneath the UI to affect the UI. In React, you're removing something from an array, and then that therefore will remove a DOM element from the UI. With this, you're removing that DOM element from the UI or adding a DOM element. You're doing so via working with straight AJAX, which we'll talk about in a second.
Can I ask one question about that that I'm curious? And you might be getting to this, but I'm just kind of trying to visualize it in my head. Like coming Absolutely. Back to like the, we have a page called team.html. It renders out the header, the entire team, and the footer and the sidebar, right? If I remove one person from that, it goes to the server, re-renders the entire page, and then it knows to just like take part of that page and swap it out? Or is there some way for HTMX to talk to the server and say, only re-render this part?
So there's some way for HTMX to talk to the server, and it's not re-rendering. It's straight up just manipulating the DOM, right? And I think that is like a thing. And it all depends on how you do it. There's a way that you can do something called boost, which is a little bit more automatic. But the way that you're typically working in this thing, because I don't want to get too deep into syntax, is you're saying, I have some JavaScript or I have some HTML coming from the server, and HTMX is telling your application where to insert that into the DOM. So you have targets and things of that nature.
Yeah, but your server is still re-rendering the entire page, right?
No, not necessarily.
Okay, so you can tell it, like you can hook it up to your server then and say, only re-render this partial?
Kind of. I'll tell you, you have full control over that. HTMX does not determine that. So, for instance, if I say, add a new to-do, my to-do function on the server might add that to the database. Then it's going to return from that route, perhaps just a string that's a list item with your HTML in it. And then when HTMX receives that response, it has just that bit of HTML. It doesn't have the whole DOM. It has just that little bit, and it puts it where you tell it to.
Gotcha. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So oftentimes you're working with these responses that are just small chunks of HTML or big chunks of HTML. It's not something that you can just swap out your UI for in a spot. This is not taking a React website and turning it into a Svelte website. This requires a bigger change on how your application is working overall. Again, we're not working with JSON there. So that's a big part of it. And one thing you'll see a lot is hypermedia, where basically HTML is king. We're sending HTML, we're swapping HTML, and the JavaScript we're writing is client-side JS, unless, of course, we're doing that on the server side. The big thing here is that it brings back AJAX, which is a term that many of you will remember in your Dreamweaver textbooks, AJAX, asynchronous JavaScript and XML. And basically, the whole thing about AJAX is what we've been talking about. It talks to the server and replaces a part of the UI without refreshing. That's it.
jQuery had a function in that we would use quite a bit, is you could fetch a page and it would return the entire page, but then jQuery would be able to just say, okay, I only want this one part of it, and then you could like use .html function to push all of the HTML of that response into the div. It's kind of funny that we stopped using the term AJAX.
Yeah.
And now it's all what do we call it? XHR, or like most people call it like a fetch, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that's largely because what we're sending and receiving is data rather than
HTML.
HTML, right? And that's really the crux of this entire thing. And so when you start to think about it, like, what can you do with that? Because if you're replacing parts of your UI, how much of application development is simply talking to the server and replacing parts of the UI? When I got into it, kind of a lot of stuff, especially if you're sending a small amount of HTML from the server, or maybe you're doing this all at the edge, right? So it really takes a shift of, do I need to be doing this in the client code, or am I really just adding and subtracting divs here and there based on a server response? So what can it do? Hey, if you think about it, client-side routing is really just that. You're taking a section of the page, you're swapping out the contents of that page. So while people will get mad if you call it client-side routing, because technically it's not client-side routing, it really is, and it has the ability to do the same style of routing that you get where sections of your page don't change, but sections of your page do change. And this could be even nested into nested routes. I've been doing some really cool stuff with this. It also allows you to progressively enhance forms, right? You submit a form, that form does your data, that data comes back in the form of HTML, that HTML has somewhere to go. Bingo, bango, you have yourselves a progressively enhanced form that would work, maybe not in the UI without HTMX, but it would submit the form correctly and do all those things like you'd want it to do. So it offers a lot of progressive enhancement. But I think the big thing to think about here is it can do a lot more than you imagine it can do, because so many of us have had our brains modified by working purely in a client-side context, that we don't think about just how much of the stuff needs to be done client-side, which I think that was the biggest shift for me, was does X, Y, and Z need to be done client side? Yeah, maybe not. Most of the stuff requires like the kind of stuff that does require like client side interactivity is like mostly swapping CSS classes, right? I mean, there's obviously more to this if you're getting into heavier client side application. So let's get into a little bit about what it doesn't do. It doesn't do any client side JavaScript really, as in interactivity bits, doesn't do it. But again, what do you really need a JavaScript framework to do? Swapping classes on something to do, maybe like what you're toggling a hamburger menu, right? You're just swapping classes. Writing a slideshow, you can do that with CSS now. I think HTMX really powers through because of the enhancements to CSS lately. The CSS is so much more capable than it's ever been before that we need client-side JavaScript less and less. And this is
especially
such a
with
good
popover too, hey?
With popover and dialogue and anchor, all of these new APIs are going to make HTML so much more formidable that you really start to look at the web apps we're building. What do you need client-side JavaScript for? And then when you start to think about it that way, you really say, I'm shipping way too much JS for the amount of stuff I actually need client-side JavaScript for.
Makes sense. Like, I'll give another example of something like this is GitHub's, if you have an issue on GitHub and you want to, like, GitHub is such a good example of like an application meets a website, you know? It's not like, oh, this is an app and this is a website. It's both, right?
Doing a lot.
And if you're on the an issues page, like there's a lot that it's server rendered, right? A list of all the issue with all of the comments that go underneath it. And however, there are some bits of those issues that need to be interactive, like adding a emoji response. And the way that works is that when you click on one of the emoji responses, it sends that request to the server, and then it just comes back with the like list of emojis as HTML and just swaps out that little part. Or if you add a comment, it could just re-render the list of comments behind it. So I thought that was a good example of the difference. Yeah,
I've been really examining on websites that I use every day, Reddit, GitHub. And I look at these things and I say, which of these client-side interactions are not talking to the server? And it's not a ton of them, because there are oftentimes they're just hitting the server and getting back a response. That response comes back as data. The UI knows how to handle that data. You're just cutting out the middleman here and getting that HTML and putting it somewhere rather than having to jump through the whole loop of working with data. I gotta say, it's really compelling. Another thing HTMX itself does not do is it does not do the server-side responses. So like I mentioned up top, you still need a server that's able to understand the requests, do something, and send back HTML. I have been working on a framework to do some of this stuff for me. And one of the cool things this framework does is that it knows if it's an HTMX request or not. So if I choose to load the About Us route and it's an initial request, that gives me the full DOM. But if it's an HTMX request, I know that's a client-side navigation. And therefore, it just gives me the body of the About page and it swaps it out accordingly. And that to me is really sick. Works really super well. But you need a server to be able to do those things smartly. I wrote that code myself. I'm putting it into a framework. But, you know, that's something to consider. But what about these following things? Animations. You do them with CSS or JS or any JS lib that you want for animations. GreenSock, AnimeJS, whatever you want. CSS, you bring your own solution. A lot of people really like Tailwind here because it is a nice way of encapsulating your CSS, doing scoped CSS to an individual component, but there's no limitations on how you write CSS here. I would like to do something using the scoped API and Lightning CSS. I've been exploring some things to do that in my app that I'm working on. But no, there's no limitations on CSS. You could include your CSS with your JavaScript or with your HTML partials that you're sending along the wire. You can do that. It's cool. Web components, they work just fine. Shadow DOM does not work, but web components are cool for UI things here if you want to encapsulate UI logic. Third-party client-side JS, HTMX has some helpers like an on HTMX onload function that just calls when HTMX is loaded, and then you can initialize a client-side library if you need to. WebSockets and server-side events. Hey, HTMX has an API for that, so you can work with real-time data without writing that client-side JavaScript to connect there, and I think that's pretty neat. You can also extend HTMX. There's plugins. For instance, one thing that I had was, hey, when I want this change to happen, I want it to affect multiple sections of the DOM, not just one thing, right? Because typically you're giving it a target. So yeah. There's a multi-swap is an extension which allows you to swap things in multiple locations, which is great. And there's a whole host of other extensions in logging and stuff like that. So it's a full-featured thing.
Can I ask a bit of a bomb question here?
Bombing up.
How is HTMX different from React server components with server actions or Svelte with form actions?
Oh, it's very different. In a React context or a Svelte context, and you're sending information from the server to the client as HTML, right? What then happens is that JavaScript loads, that JavaScript then kind of attaches to the existing DOM. So that way, when you then update client side, all those updates then therefore from that point happen via the client side, right?
I'm just trying to like understand, like I understand it, but like what's the benefit over that type of thing? Like, yeah, it's less JavaScript, but it comes with all these like, oh, but if you do want to do some server JavaScript or you want to do a drag and drop, then all of a sudden you have components on the client and on the thing. Like, I understand it for a lot of applications.
Yeah.
But
so yeah. I think the one thing that you're swapping for in simplicity of execution, you're swapping that with simplicity of developer experience, because with HTMX, you're having to use a bunch of different tools to get the same kind of simple workflows that you're getting out of Svelte.
Yeah.
What you get in the output of HTMX is more simple. You're just swapping divs here and there, right? And in Svelte world, so to say, you have to worry about the rendering system. Where does the data go? The data comes in from JSON. It comes in from the server. I then have to worry about distributing that data throughout your application. And that bit of JavaScript and that bit of logic goes away.
If an app is like React server components and Svelte, they're just sending HTML. I know it's the components, but you're not sending any data to the server if it's server rendered.
Only on the initial load, right? And then every subsequent load, you're dealing with data and hydration.
Not with React server components, though. React server components, you can keep it 100% on the server, and only when you want to opt in to client JavaScript, that's when you do it.
But React server components are sending virtual DOM. They're sending React,
not HTML.
DOM. They're not sending HTML. And I do think that's an important distinction. React wants to control everything. React is the Apple of this format, right? They want to control the entirety of the rendering cycle for your application. And this is
the whole
DOM
app.
Straightforward.
Like with HTMX, you could write your backend in 8 different things, you know? You could write,
which is a strength and a curse of it, I think.
Yeah.
So I love that we hashed that out, because I think that's a really important conversation. And I do think, I don't want to act like HTMX is the solution to everything, because there's definitely things I like about it and I don't like about it. I like that you don't have to worry about client-side components versus server-side components. Basically, everything is a server-side component. The client-side JavaScript you're doing is very obviously like client-side JavaScript. It moves most of your logic to the server straight up. Almost all your logic moves to the server. There's no sending data around. I don't have to grab my data, send it across the internet, and then distribute it through my application. I have my data. I put it into the HTML. I send the HTML. That, to me, feels nice in practice. State lives on the server. So again, your application state lives mostly within like the request process on the server. And that's a pro in my book. I think it makes working with state less messy. Again, I'm not having to accept things and then distribute it via state or any of that stuff. I also like that you can use bun in straight up TypeScript. I threw up to a bun server with an HTMX front end, quote unquote, and I'm writing TypeScript everywhere. I'm feeling very nice about just the general workflow of not having a build tool in this regard. Just writing a server, sending HTML. I don't have like a build process necessarily. It's just very nice. What does Scott not like about it? I don't like the occasional need for client-side JS has a lot of people doing a bunch of different stuff. You see people using Preact, React, Alpine, all sorts of stuff on top of HTMX. And to me, I don't think that's necessarily a pro. I'm going to try to keep it vanilla, but who knows? You know, those are the types of things we'll see. But I think another like thing I don't like about it is this sheer amount of variability in how people use this tool makes finding relevant documentation, anything about it, difficult, because you'll find influencer A being like, hey, I use like Go and HTMX is the killer combo. And influencer B will say, oh, bun and JSX, that's the killer combo. And I think it's not mature enough in this space where there isn't like, well, I think it's being used across communities, PHP and whatever. It also requires a big brain shift, which isn't awful. But if you've been writing client-side JS apps for a long time, your brain's going to hurt trying to understand that you're swapping out HTML all the time. I also feel like there probably will be rough edges where in certain situations I could have the framework bail me out with client-side JavaScript. And also a thing I don't like about it is their website only has a light mode. So that way when I browse to it while we're recording this episode, I look like this. So I can't leave the docs open while we're recording. So that's really it. I think there's plenty more that I do like about it than I don't like about it. I think it's legit. I think people might have the wrong idea about what it is, where you're thinking about, is this a true React replacement? Requires a lot of buy-in. It does feel the most like working in PHP that I have ever felt on the web with JavaScript. And I think the one thing,
which is a good thing, right? Like you're saying that in a positive manner? Yeah, okay.
I'm saying that in a positive manner because largely in the JS world, we've been kind of fighting for something that feels as streamlined as that, right?
Yeah.
You grab your data, you throw in a template, that template just renders. And this to me feels the closest to that given the tooling around it that you support yourself with. And that's why I think people in Django, people in Rails or wherever, people are liking the way this feels for that because of these reasons. It's an area I'm going to continue to explore. So you might see some tutorials, you might see some more content. I'm sure we'll talk much more about HTMX here in a practical sense. I just thought it was a good, hey, what is this thing that you've been hearing so much about or you've been seeing memed online? Is it actually real? Are people using it? What do I need to know about it?
Awesome. The htmx.org/examples also has a bunch of like, okay, but how would I do progress or something like that? Some really good examples there showing, especially I was curious how like the server sent events work, because like you think, oh yeah, but my stuff's real time, you know?
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah,
like an example is I have my video courses is when progress needs to happen, right? You can use server sent events to send that back and forth from the server just to update data. Pretty cool. Yeah.
I remember the pre-JavaScript front-end days when I first started working in Backbone. I remember thinking, why does this, just simply loading this, have to be done in JavaScript? And it's almost like after using this, I'm like, wait a second. It only has to be done in JavaScript because the system's expecting me to do it in JavaScript. Now, if I free myself from those bounds, what do I really need client-side JavaScript for in like an interactive sense? And I think in 2024, the answer is less than it was in 2015, right? Or 2013.
Beautiful. I like it. I'll have to give it a shot myself. I've been kind of looking at it for years, ever since people keep suggesting it. I think the one thing that people are not going to like, and you touched upon this, is that like people just want a opinionated meta framework where just tell me how to do it. You know, I want to be able to tell me how to write my components, tell me where to put everything, tell me what the folder structure looks like. I don't want to have to piece all these things together because we're certainly burned out of that in JavaScript land.
Well, let me tell you, I got something for you here. I've been cooking on a meta framework, and I'm going to say this is 24 hours old. So, you know, by the time you listen to this episode, you know, who knows what the status of this project will be. But this thing rips. And I'm going to tell you, I'll post a link to it. I'm calling it Hype right now. It has client-side folder-based routing. You have a routes directory. It works like Next.js, and it uses HTMX. It uses Bun. It uses Eliza, and it uses Drizzle and SQLite to get you up and running. It is
are you using the cool. Bun file system router?
I'm using my own.
Okay, because that's one really cool thing. I know we're getting long here, but one cool thing about Bun is that it like has a file system router built in. And JSX built in. So like you could go pretty far.
Yeah.
With Bun.
I will say I will be using their APIs, but to do the file routing, yeah, I'm using Eliza as the server, the express, if you will. And so I need to do some stuff there. So I will see if I can integrate their file system router API with what I'm doing in a way that makes sense.
Cool.
But right now I'm doing it all kind of bespoke.
Beautiful. All right. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll catch you later.
Peace.
Peace.